Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Everybody, probably without exception, thinks there's something wrong with the modern educational system. Now, what's wrong is a matter of debate. Perhaps an even bigger matter of debate would be, what's the solution to the problem that plagues our schools and modern education? Can modern education, today's education, learn anything, move forward into the future by delving into the past? That is the way education used to be done. One might even say in Western civilization, the way that formal education was originally done. We're going to talk about a classical education. Now, that might sound a bit unfamiliar to some of you. Do not fear. This really is the foundation of education, and in many ways, after tonight's conversation, you may see how far education has fallen, but how much improvement there can be if we look to a classical model of education. That's our subject for tonight on Issues Etc. It is Sunday night, June the 5th. We're coming to you live. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours as we talk about classical education with Pastor Joel Brondos, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. We also have our in-studio email address. Feel free to use it. It is issuesetc@kfuo.org. issuesetc@kfuo.org. Our guest for this evening, Pastor Joel Brondos, is headmaster-elect of St. Paul's Lutheran Church and School in Brookfield, Illinois. He spent 9 years as headmaster of Zion Lutheran Academy in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Pastor Joel Brondos, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Well, it's great to be with you, even later at night than usual.
Now, I mentioned at the beginning that the problem in education today is a matter of debate. What do you think is the biggest problem in education today?
Well, I think it's important for us to really put it like you said it, what's the biggest problem of education in the United States, and not just take a look at symptoms. Some people might think that our low test scores are our problem in this country, but it's really just a symptom, and I don't think that just trying to raise test scores is going to be the ultimate solution. We can take a look at some of the Pacific Rim countries who seem to be doing much better in terms of standardized testing, but they're really lacking something too, and I don't think we should just compete on terms of at academic testing or the higher grades. I think the real problem, as I see it, is that we believe that we can construct a good society, that our schools, the educational philosophers of our time, really see education as a sort of social engineering. They want to produce people who that fit well into a capitalist utilitarian scheme. I think that people are not only good producers of things, but also good consumers in a land of plenty. And in order to have that kind of a thing, we also have to have good people, that is, people who aren't going to cause trouble, be selfish, and that are moral people. But at the same time, we have a very difficult time defining what is good and what is moral. So it's a very confused state, but we want to engineer some sort of a good society.
Okay, so would it suffice to say that to put our finger on the real problem and not just a symptom of education today would be to say that the overall purpose, and therefore in many ways the method, of civil education has radically changed?
Absolutely, and it's been somewhat gradual over several centuries. I think we're still caught in the educational philosophy, which was going on through the times of the Enlightenment and Rousseau's Romanticism. I think we're still very much influenced by philosophers like Kant and Schopenhauer and Nietzsche even. Most people perhaps aren't familiar with these names, but their general philosophy in terms of self-fulfillment and empowerment and those kind of things are very much with us in schools today.
So what is a classical education?
Well, a classical education really tries to take to heart what it means to be human. Why are we here? What is our goal? It isn't just to produce things and to buy things, But as we would say in the Lutheran Church, Luther himself sort of summarized things, that we look to God in faith and care for our neighbor in love. And so classical education is kind of what Adam and Eve would be doing if they hadn't gone through the fall, I think. You know, fascinated about all of God's creation, wonderful creation it is, but also being helpmeets to one another. So it's really taking a look at our place in life and how it is that we deal with one another and look to God in faith.
Okay, I want to get into the particulars beyond just the general picture you painted there of classical education, kind of the form of it. But first, what do you think, since classical education is making a comeback in many circles, homeschooler and parochial schools, even some secular public schools are trying out the classical model or toying around with it a little bit and finding some great success. What is the biggest myth about a classical education out there, you think?
Well, I hope that people don't think that classical education is just a more of a moral education, that somehow it will improve society in and of itself. There are still so many definitions of what a classical education is out there as well. We can take a look at some of the things that authors wrote centuries ago, millennia ago, Plutarch's Moralia and Cicero, Quintilian and others, and they are very interesting and give us something to really consider. But we have to take more in consideration than just more of a moral education. So I think a classical education is good from a perspective of what we are able to maintain intellectually and achieve, and then it's very organized and ordered. But we still have to have the good data going into it as well. So, I mean, for example, E.D. Hirsch's core knowledge education is a little bit more classical in the sense that it's direct instruction rather than a constructivist hands-on learning where children invent their own realities. But it quite often still, if you go to their website, you'll find that teachers are still putting on lesson plans that are very much like the constructivist mindset of many public schools today.
How do you respond to someone who says, look, I've got a solution for the whole educational system. It's really very simple. Opt out entirely. And my solution is I'll just send my kids to a Christian school, to a parochial school. How do you respond to that?
Well, yeah, I guess it kind of depends on why they want to do that. Quite often there are parents who just want to get their kids out of an immoral setting. There are so many troubles perhaps in a public school. They want their children to be in a safe environment, or they think that by paying money that they're going to get a better education. But quite frankly, there are a lot of private schools, even Lutheran schools, that are still pretty much caught up into this postmodern kind of education. I think it's important for parents really to take a look at what it is that they want for their children. The parents themselves are going to have to educate themselves and do some reading, but find out what it is that the schools are teaching. It's a rather capitalist kind of an idea to privatize education from one perspective, but it's very important to know what kind of content is going to be conveyed in those schools.
Here's my experience, okay? This is probably typical of much of my education, be it elementary school or junior high or high school. But it boils down to one experience, early high school. We were taking a course that probably should have been English composition, but instead it was called creative writing. We were taught no grammar. Spelling didn't count. Complete sentences, not necessary. What we were told to do was take pen in hand, blank sheet of paper, and simply express ourselves. In fact, probably it would be better put emote. Simply say how we feel and what's going on inside of us on paper. And this passed for English class. This, by the way, was a Lutheran high school as well. Your reaction to that?
Well, we have seen that happening down through the ages. Going back to the time of Friedrich Frebel and Pestalozzi and Rousseau, that it's just the idea of what they think that a human being is. David Hicks, in his book Norms and Nobility, states that education at every level reflects our primary assumption about the nature of man, and that educational philosophies that cover over that are expected to do some kind of a polemical magic, and they really aren't being honest with people. So if you go back to some of these early philosophers like Frabel and Pestalozzi and Rousseau, they believed that the human nature was basically divine, and we shouldn't try to impose things upon children, you know, that let children be children. Their nature is pure and good, and as long as you can let them have that and they develop out of whatever they will, out of that pure, naive sensation of the world, and some of the leading educational theorists of our own country then, like a Colonel Francis Parker, would say something like, the spontaneous tendencies of the child are the records of inborn divinity. This has come into even our Lutheran schools through some of the movements in maybe the teacher colleges, and Edie Hirsch does a good job of sort of documenting that general movement towards an anti-intellectualism.
Let's talk about that when we come back. I'll tell you one thing. What it came out of for me was I knew how to write about how I felt, but I did not know how to write when it was all said and done. We'll be right back as we talk about a classical education.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Are you looking for a vacation this summer where you can relax, renew, and refocus? Well, I have just the opportunity for you. It's a Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar, June the 26th through July the 2nd, at the Marvin M. Schwann Retreat and Conference Center in Trago, Wisconsin. It's about 2 hours from Minneapolis. Not only will you have the chance to relax in the beauty and serenity of the picturesque Namekagon River, two private lakes, miles of hiking trails, and abundant wildlife, but you'll also have the opportunity to refocus and renew by listening to instruction from Issues Etc. regular guests Gene Edward Veith, Alvin Schmidt, and Angus Manouge. Now, for more information, go to our website, issuesetc.org, or call the Schwann Center at 1-800-577-4848. Ask for information on a Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar, June the 26th through July the 2nd, in northern Wisconsin. 1-800-577-4848. One of the staples of the Christian life is Christian prayer. I suspect, however, that many people have little idea about what Christian prayer really sounds like, what it looks like. Would it surprise you to learn that prayer does not begin in your heart or even in your own needs, certainly not your felt needs, but in the Word of God and the promises that God has made to you, that the reason Christians pray is not primarily because they want something, but because God has promised so many things? So what does Christian prayer sound like? A great resource we offer during the month of June, our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for June, in fact, is a Lutheran Book of Prayer. It is one of the unsung legacies of the 16th century Lutheran Reformation, A Life of Christian Prayer. It's a helpful prayer resource for you today. It costs only $8.99 plus shipping and handling. You can order a Lutheran Book of Prayer by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours. Their number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040, or you can order the A Lutheran Book of Prayer online at our website. Just go there, issuesetc.org. Now, when you call, make sure that you tell the customer service representative that you listen to Issues, Etc., and that you want our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for June, A Lutheran Book of Prayer, their number, 1-800-325-3040. We're talking about classical education. Pastor Joel Brandos is our guest. Let's get into the particulars of the classical model, the general outline of what it looks like, and granted, it will sound somewhat unfamiliar to people like me, who have been raised in a very unclassical model of education. What does it look like in its bare outline?
Well, we want to be able to enable children to do like perhaps you weren't taught, and being able to write well, to think well, to speak well, and those, in order to do that, it calls for certain building blocks, and what classical education is looking for is a renaissance, not a reform. When We see what's going on in schools today. You can go to pages on the web and find all kinds of reform models for curriculum, but none of them really address at the heart of what we're trying to get at. And this is where this hopefully will be seen here now when we talk about some of the very practical aspects of it. We follow what we call the order of the trivium as part of the liberal arts. And the first three of those seven liberal arts are grammar, logic or dialectic, and rhetoric. And in a fairly simplistic way of describing it, grammar is dealing with the data and facts. It's the period of life for children, roughly from kindergarten to fourth grade, when they seem to have a higher propensity for memorizing things. It's a time of life when rote memorization is good and profitable. We wouldn't expect high school or college students to be doing rote memorization, but we shouldn't for that reason just write it off the list altogether. But we give children data and facts to remember, and quite often some of the methodology includes a kind of telling of little jingles and so forth. So the grammar stage doesn't have to do with just language as we know it, English, verbs and nouns, principal parts of speech, but every subject has its grammar. So, for example, in math, the grammar of math would be you're adding and subtracting, multiplication and division, getting those multiplication and addition tables down and memorized. We have speed tests for the kids because we don't want them to rely on calculators but to use their brains and know exactly how things work rather than just pushing buttons. In history, the grammar of history here at Zion, and as we will shortly be doing in St. Paul's, is we have roughly a timeline of about 80 events and dates, and the children already in first grade learn about five a week. It starts out when 4000 BC, the Egyptians settle in the Nile River Valley. They go through these, and it's just amazing at the end of the school year to be able to carry on a conversation with a first grader who can tell you something about the Olympics and when they were, when they happened in relation to other events in the history of the world, and also working into that, the biblical events, to show that they are part of our history. So the first stage, roughly kindergarten through fourth grade, the grammar stage, deals with data, facts, memorization. The second stage is the logic or dialectic stage, and that's roughly from fifth through eighth grade, students that are beginning to ask questions. They don't memorize quite as well. In fact, they may rebel against having to do anything like that, but they don't just take any answer. They are often sometimes being rather silly about the kind of questions they ask, but we want them to be directed into asking good questions and to take the data that they've memorized before, that they've learned by heart, and to analyze it now, to see how it all fits together, to give a real lateral, broad perspective about all of these things. So this is also the time when we start teaching them Latin a little bit more, other languages. Again, the first part of the liberal arts, the trivium, has to do with language, and it understands not just the spoken and written language, but also music as a language by which we communicate, and mathematics is a way that we communicate. It's a language. We have to learn how to speak and communicate these ideas to one another. So logic and dialectic stage, we'll start taking a look a lot at primary sources and doing some readings and investigating different sides of the matter. This is also an opportunity for students to not just get a one-sided view of history, but to get both sides of the arguments in the Revolutionary War and the matter of slavery or other things like that. And then finally, the rhetoric stage, roughly the high school stage, is a time that we expect children to do more of this creative writing, putting together the things that they've learned in a more of a creative way, to be able to communicate that, doing reports, speeches, doing some debate, and those kind of more analytical type of things.
With only a minute here before we go to another break, how can this classical model of education improve education today?
Well, I think it helps in giving children a much broader perspective of life, and that they become generalist rather than just thinking about how they're going to get a job, they will see so much more of the world around them that they will be fascinated with what they learn and not just excited through some kind of artificial means by playing games or using pictures or videos or the internet or something. And I think what our experience has been here, when we've had students transfer from public schools and from other Lutheran schools around the country, the children are much more interested in the topic. It's more meaty. It has more weight to it, and it holds their attention much better.
We're talking with Pastor Joel Brondos about classical education. Next week on the program, we're going to discuss defending the pro-life position. Scott Klusendorf of Stand to Reason will be our guest. What's the number one question in the whole abortion debate? We'll answer that question next week with Scott Klusendorf. What's wrong with terms like choice or privacy? And what are some bad ways to argue about abortion? We'll talk about all that next week on Issues, Etc. Scott Klusendorf will be our guest. Now, if you'd like to know what we'll be discussing for the rest of June, check out our website, issuesetc.org. And while you're there at the website, be sure to read several articles we posted there on classical education. The address, issuesetc.org. When we come back from this break, we continue our conversation with Pastor Joel Brondos, headmaster-elect of St. Paul's Lutheran Church and School in Brookfield, Illinois. He spent 9 years as the headmaster of Zion Lutheran Academy in Fort Wayne, Indiana, discussing classical education. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Your questions and comments on classical education and the state of education today, or our email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. That number again, 1-800-730-2727. We'll be taking your phone calls on the other side of the break. Something else to discuss also, he alluded to this, but this is one that's been a big source of pain as a parent of school children, the textbook that can't stay on one subject for more than a paragraph. And what do you say to someone who says, look, classical education is just all about uniforms and rules and Latin. It's just cosmetic. We'll talk about it when we come back. Every year, Christ Academy hosts high school-aged men who desire to learn more about becoming a pastor. The two-week event affords these young men the opportunity to immerse themselves in the day-to-day world of seminary life at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. They worship in Kramer Chapel, are instructed by the excellent CTS faculty, and enjoy time for recreation and getting to know other men who are considering becoming pastors. Christ Academy 2005 will take place June 19th through July the 2nd, 2005. Registration will open January 1st, 2005. To receive more information concerning this exciting opportunity, call 1-800-481-2155 or email christacademy@mail.ctsfw.edu. 1-800-481-2155 or christacademy@mail.ctsfw.edu.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Todd Wilkin here again. I'm talking with Dr. Gene Edward Veith. He's going to be one of the speakers at a Confessional Christian Worldview seminar this summer at the Schwann Center in Trago, Wisconsin. Dr. Veith, you're going to be talking about the new polytheism. What is the new polytheism?
It isn't just a matter of, well, you have your religion and I have mine. And, you know, we've had religious relativism for a long time. It doesn't really matter what religion that you follow. But now it seems like it's almost an affirmation of all of the different religions at the same time. And so affirming Christianity and Islam and Judaism and Hinduism and Buddhism as if they're all true, and so a recognition, a kind of mindset that is more towards the old polytheistic religions where there's Zeus and Athena and Hera and all the other gods and goddesses, so that Islam and Christianity and Judaism are all treated as true, and what we have is really a multiple religions, with, in effect, multiple gods, all being affirmed. You really see it closely with the Roman Empire, the way the different gods came into the recognition. When the Romans would conquer another people, they accepted their gods. In fact, they had a big temple called the Pantheon of all gods, and all of the gods of the different peoples were enshrined and honored in this one temple of all the gods. When they conquered Egypt, they added the Egyptian gods. When they conquered Persia, they added the Persian gods. They honored all of the gods, and this was almost a model for them of how such a diverse empire could be brought in together. We will honor everybody's gods. Of course, the problem is when they brought in a religion that would not accept all the other gods as equally valid, a religion that insisted that there is only one God that we can acknowledge and worship, and that the others don't even exist, that was seen as a very intolerant religion that had to be persecuted. And, of course, that was Christianity.
Come here and meet Dr. Gene Edward Veith and Other Issues, Etc. regular guests at a Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar, June the 26th through July the 2nd at the Schwann Center in Trago, Wisconsin. For more information, call the Schwann Center at 1-800-577-4848, 1-800-577-4848, or go to our website and look for the Schwann Center logo, issuesetc.org, 1-800-577-4848.
Do you find that you struggle for words when you pray? Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is a helpful prayer resource. It's titled The Lutheran Book of Prayer. You can find out more about the Lutheran Book of Prayer on our website, issuesetc.org, or by calling Concordia Publishing House. That phone number is 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. The Lutheran Book of Prayer costs $8.99 plus shipping and handling. You'll find prayers for family and neighbors, for the sick and the dying, the nation and the world, in the Lutheran Book of Prayer, 1-800-325-3040, or issuesetc.org. Don't believe the myth that spontaneous prayer is more spirit-filled than written, word-centered prayer. The Lutheran Book of Prayer, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, 1-800-325-3040.
Folks, I'm looking forward to meeting our listeners in Chicago and in Milwaukee this week. We're going to be broadcasting live from 3 to 6 in the afternoon at three locations on 3 days. First at St. John's Lutheran Church in Wheaton, Illinois. That's this Tuesday this week, June the 7th. Then on Wednesday, Christ Lutheran Church in Oak Park near Chicago as well. And then up to Elm Grove Lutheran Church in Wisconsin. That's 4 days from today on Thursday, June the 9th. Everyone is invited to these live broadcasts of Issues, Etc. And after every broadcast every evening, a free potluck meal after the program. Now, for more information on the Issues, Etc. Reformation Tour this week in Chicago and Milwaukee, June the 7th through the 9th, visit our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. I'd love to hear from you on the issue of classical education during this hour. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. What do you think is the biggest problem with education in America today? 1-800-730-2727, or email us, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Pastor Joel Brondos is our guest. Pastor Brondos, talk a bit, if you would, about how a classical model of education, and you alluded to this a few minutes ago, is consistent with a biblical view of man, of man's capacity, of man's purpose here in time. Talk about that a bit.
Well, I believe the Apostle Paul addressed some of these things in his epistles, and the Apostle Peter as well, telling us to take a look at whatever is noble and pure and good and right, and to think on those things, not just about learning data, as we talk about the younger children do, but what is good, right, and salutary, but also that we not get carried away by all kinds of vain philosophies today. And I think that's a very real and important question that our parents and teachers ought to be asking of themselves, and that is, what kind of philosophies and thought patterns are our students going to have to face when they're in college? Because you can teach them a lot of Christian stuff, if you will, but it doesn't really address the very real problems that our children are going to have to face in their university days.
One of the things that I didn't know until recently, and that was the contribution that the Lutheran reformers, Luther, his colleague Melanchthon, and others made to education in the first place, but in shaping this classical model of education based upon a biblical worldview. Tell us about it.
Yes, well, I think that Melanchthon, interestingly, the teacher's college at Columbia University has him as one of their eight statues, I believe, around their college there. And the humanist view of education, not secular humanism, but, if you will, Lutheran humanism, which really valued the ability and gifts of humans to be able to understand and communicate through various means, the fine arts, languages, but first and foremost, the study of languages, as Luther would talk about in several of his educational treatises and sermons, is to go back to the Bible. I mean, the reason that we teach children to read even today very strongly is so that they can read God's Word and so that they can communicate these things through their hymns and prayers every day. So reading has a purpose, not just for reading instructional manuals or reading the sports page, but for reading God's Word first and foremost.
So it sounds as though the classical model of education takes seriously God's gift of human reason, the mind, the intellect.
Yes, it takes it seriously from two different perspectives. First of all, we know that our intellect is sinful, and it tends to turn in on itself. But classical education, classical Lutheran education in particular, looks to the grace of God to enliven us, not just to give us more rules to follow, but to actually enliven us through his means of grace so that we do look to him in faith and care for one another in love.
Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. The best callers will receive this book called Classical Education Toward the Revival of American Schooling, 1-800-730-2727. And our in-studio email address, of course, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Let's talk with Karen in Kirksville, Missouri, listening on KLTE. Karen, thank you for waiting. Welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi.
Hi.
I taught in a public school for 12 years, and earlier he was speaking about children. You were speaking about should have had a creative writing class, and that they were told to write creatively. And what would be the difference with this classical education and from the creative writing to what the classical education model would be?
It's a great question, Karen. Thank you very much. We may not have made that clear. What is contrast the difference between what I was talking about with the creative model and what Karen is asking about here? Because you did mention there's creativity later on in this model.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I want to be careful. I sometimes fall into the bad habit of just sort of comparing and contrasting public schools and Lutheran schools or something, and that's altogether a false dichotomy. There are some very, very fine public schools out there. And but I would say that the difference in this trend, there's a sort of a creativity trend out there that doesn't really want to take a look at the basics, to see writing as a discipline. Instead, they just want it to happen spontaneously out of a child. So I would say the main difference in the classical education creativity is that we first give children building blocks. They are very well read. They read in a lot of different areas, and they get a broad perspective of life around them from the very best in the ideas of the Western world. And then we ask them to be creative. I guess comparably, if we were to take a child and just set that child in front of a piano and say, now just play, you know, be creative, and if you play long enough, you'll be able to be like Bach someday or something. Or if we were to give a child a basketball and just say, here, go out and, play around on the gym court and shoot baskets and try to do 360-degree slam dunks or whatever, and maybe someday you'll get to be as good as Michael Jordan. It's that kind of idea that students, children, and even adults need the basic building blocks. They may not be very much fun. And C.S. Lewis talks about this a little bit, there isn't anything that seems entirely rewarding initially about having to do all these exercises. But in the end, it pays off, and we end up being much more creative after we have learned the discipline.
1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Listening in Abbeville, Kansas on KCVT. John, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yeah, that's KCVW.
Thank you.
This is John. You was talking about the educations. I'm 63 years old. I went to public school, and I got a very poor education, actually, but I've been widely read since then. But one of the things that has really opened my eyes was an article in a book by Robert Heinlein about the decline of education. And I can remember my granddad could work, do math in his head, and I always thought he was a genius, but he wasn't. That was common for the older folks, and I found that after I got out of school, that most of the older folks could do that because of the education that they had.
John, I think you talk about that, and I remember my own grandfather, eighth grade education, could do math in his head as well. It was astounding to me and everyone else around us. Was this part and parcel of the old way of education, Pastor Brandos?
Yes, I've actually been very interested in following up what they used to do with education. I've got some very old math books, for example, and it just amazes me when I compare it to what we teach children today, how they were able to do these things. We think of ourselves as being much more advanced and technological and so forth, but they basically stuck to the basics, had a very good, solid foundation, and they could really work with it. And also the students that had that foundation are able then to develop their own connections, and they can learn things themselves rather than just having to receive a lecture or something.
Another quick phone call here before we go to this break. We might have to save the answer for the other side of the break. Let's talk with Rana in Palo Alto, California. She listens on KFAX. Hi, Rana.
Hi, thank you. I've heard it said that teachers are afraid of administrators. Administrators are afraid of parents. Parents are afraid of their kids. And kids are afraid of nothing. The system is out of control. And parents, the kids that know better, are afraid to speak up for their Christian values because I've heard it said, well, Christians shouldn't be militant. What's the best way to get across the need to focus on what is noble and good and pure and right in public and in private schools?
Great question, Rana. Thank you very much. And we'll get the answer to that question from Pastor Joel Brandos, our guest, on the other side of this break. You've heard us talking for the last few months on the program about another educational endeavor, sending a young man in your congregation to Christ Academy 2005, a two-week residential program for high school-aged men at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Well, believe it or not, folks, time flies. Christ Academy 2005 is only 2 weeks away. Why not offer a scholarship to Christ Academy 2005 for a young man that you know, or one that you don't know? Now, the registration cost is $450. It's a two-week, all-expense-paid residential program. It's a great way to plant seeds for future pastors. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, for more information on Christ Academy, or call Pastor Scott Clems at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Here's his number, 1-800-481-2155. Ask for Pastor Scott Clems, 1-800-481-2155, and ask him about offering a scholarship to a young man for this two-week residential program, Christ Academy 2005, 1-800-481-2155. When we come back, more of your phone calls on classical education.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you to pay the production salaries and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to prayerfully consider making a financial gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. You can donate by credit card, 1-800-737-0172. Or you can donate by check, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. We're talking about classical education. Pastor Joel Brondos is our guest. He's headmaster-elect at St. Paul's Lutheran Church and School in Brookfield, Illinois. Pastor Brondos, tell us a bit about this classical education conference that's going to be held just a little bit later this summer up there in Brookfield.
Okay, and I do want to get a chance to answer the lady's question.
We will do that forthwith,
okay.
Yes.
The conference coming up in the last week of June, I'm very much excited about. We have it sort of, it's a combination of two things. We have a five-day-long teacher training seminar for teachers who are interested in getting involved with a classical education, whether as it's part of a school or just in their own classroom. But it's also for homeschooling parents. We have a wonderful mixture in the last 7 years, the conferences that we've had, an interaction of people doing these things. So in the last 2 days, then, is for those who perhaps cannot afford to come to a whole week of education, and ends with classes that are less practical in a manner of speaking than in the teacher's sessions, but then getting into the understanding and the broad perspective of what education is and how it's changed over the years. The first several days of the week, we have some teachers who are very much experienced, who have come out of the other kind of education, educational trends, and learned about classical education, have been doing this for at least 5 years. They're just some of the sweetest people and most knowledgeable, practical teachers that I've ever met, really. They'll be dealing with topics on literature and art and history and how these things are done practically in a classroom setting. And then the second half of the conference, we have some men who are very well known in their fields giving us a background, for example, of Bugenhagen on education, another great Melanchthon was pretty much involved with the university aspect of it, but the grammar school stage Bugenhagen did a lot with, and he was the pastor in Wittenberg. Luther took over for much of his preaching when Bugenhagen was out in Denmark and other places founding these Lutheran schools. We have David Wagner is going to speak to us on the development of the liberal arts education since the time of the Renaissance, and it's just a really wonderful conference that brings people together not only to hear good topics, but also to learn from each other.
Folks, you can find out more about this Classical Lutheran Education Conference coming up later this month, June the 27th, at St. Paul's Lutheran Church and School in Brookfield, Illinois, on our website, issuesetc.org. When you get to the homepage there, issuesetc.org, click on the What's New section, or you can call St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Brookfield, Illinois. Here's their number, area code 708-485-0650. That's 708 area code 485-0650. A Classical Lutheran Education Conference, June the 27th through July the 1st, at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Brookfield, Illinois. For more information, check out the What's New section of our website, issuesetc.org. The number again, area code 708-485-0650. Rana did ask that question before the break, Pastor Brondos, about the best way to make that transition and to make the case for what is noble, good, those things that Paul urges us to think upon. Your answer.
Well, I think it's very interesting. First of all, she began with the illustration, which sort of describes a culture of fear that we have. Somehow there are people who think that if we could only scare children so they're afraid of something, that parents would be better off, and administrators and teachers as well. And there are even these scared straight programs where they may take a child to a prison or something and try to scare the living daylights out of them as if that would make them good. But it doesn't. I think really to set children towards that which is noble and good, worthwhile, salutary, it's first and foremost spending time with our children, turning off the television, and getting into Aesop's Fables, for example, which Luther very highly commended, reading good stories that are out there. I believe that it was Harry Truman who thought so highly that his father had read to him Plutarch's Lives, the stories of the great Romans and Greek individuals who had had such a great impact as leaders. So it's spending some time doing some reading, telling stories, and then let the children tell the stories back. So we put into their hands good materials that really do hold their attention, better even than some cartoons or videos. And by the way, well, there's just so much on this topic, I think, with good children's literature that's available out there. But if you see a Disney video like The Little Mermaid or Bambi, read the book, because you'll find so many wonderful things in there. For example, the reason that The Little Mermaid wanted to be human was because she knew that only humans could go to heaven. You never find that in a Disney video. Or with Bambi, throughout the book, it's talking about the wonders and beauties of God's creation. Again, something that doesn't come out in the Disney version.
1-800-730-2727. Margaret listens in New Orleans on WSHO. Hi, Margaret.
Hi.
What's your question or comment?
My children have been attending a Lutheran school, but the school doesn't use classical education. And we're going to be moving in the fall, and they'll be going to a Lutheran school that does use classical education. Are they going to be behind? Is there anything that I need to do to get them ready?
A very practical parental concern there, Pastor Brondos. Your response here with about a minute?
Sure. Is Mark still on the line about what grade level they're going to be?
No, she's not on the line
okay.
any longer.
Well, I would just say you don't have to worry about them being behind. Children pick up these things very quickly, partly because classical education is very structured, and they're able to jump right in those kind of situations, usually pretty quickly. But I think it's fairly common to expect that it takes a good semester, maybe a year, before they really get the handle on it, and then after that they'll just zoom right off. So I think it'll be great, and they'll enjoy it very much.
Margaret, call us back, if you would, 1-800-730-2727. I'm going to send you a copy of this book, Classical Education Toward the Revival of American Schooling, that will give you a bit of a primer on the whole model and what to expect in a classically modeled school for your children. 1-800-730-2727. Dave calls from Tulsa, Oklahoma. KQCV is his station. Dave, welcome. Our time is short here. What's your question or comment?
Hello.
Hello, Dave.
It's Dean. Hey, I was just wanting to make a comment about in education these days, with where evolution seems to be taking over our sciences, and in a classical sense, how do they deal with the evolution versus the creation models, and what's going on as far as this classical approach?
Good question, Dean, and thank you for the call, Pastor Brondos. About 40 seconds here for an answer.
Okay, well, I'd say that the issue in science is not just creation and evolution. It really has a lot to do with science. I mean, they say that the scientific method is basically dead. But with regard to evolution and creation in classical education, especially classical Lutheran education, we emphasize teaching what God's Word teaches, and it's the six-day creation. But at the same time, we want our children to be well-rounded and be able to defend the faith, so we want them to know these evolutionistic theories as well, so that they can address them, not just from a creation scientific point of view, but also from a good law and gospel perspective. The creation shows that we have a personal God who loves us and cares about us, and we aren't just a happenstance of nature.
Folks, we're going to continue to come to you live this Sunday evening, June the 5th, and we will also continue to respond to your phone calls and your emails on classical education in the next hour of the program. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. We'll also continue to give away this book, Classical Education, Toward the Revival of American Schooling, to the best callers in the next hour at 1-800-730-2727. This break is a great time to call. I see one or two open phone lines over there, 1-800-730-2727, or email us at issuesetc@kfuo.org. Be sure to tune in live in the next hour right there on the internet at our website, issuesetc.org. Go there, click the Listen Online link, and listen to the next hour. You know, something does need to be said here, too, and that is we could have the best system of education available to man. We could return to, I think, what has proven to be over the centuries of Western civilization, a successful and right-minded and consistent with biblical theology model of education for our children. But we should never neglect the heart and center of the true knowledge that we are to pass on to our children, one that ought to stand at the heart and center of a true Christian classical education, the cross of Jesus Christ. Raising our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord is not just giving them data about math or science or astrology or music, as good as those things are, but also, and not just biblical data either, but the very heart and center of Scripture. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, for sinners, giving His life at the cross for us. That is the heart of the knowledge that God would have us carry on to our children and throughout our entire lives. That is the knowledge that saves. Give us a call in the next hour, 1-800-730-2727, or email us at issuesetc@kfuo.org. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Listen to Pastor Todd Wilkin weekly on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117.